The purpose of the book of Daniel is to reveal God's sovereignty over kings and kingdoms. And this is borne out in every chapter we've looked at. We saw how God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, how he dealt with Belteshazzar, how he changed the kingdom from Babylonian to Medo-Persian. And now in chapter 6, he reveals his sovereignty. It's God's sovereignty in action. And the event is one of the most familiar in all history. Both believers and unbelievers know about Daniel in the lion's den. But we need to ask, what can we learn about this? What can we expect in 2001? Well, in general terms, we can probably expect usual things, great joys, great blessings, great luxuries, good health. On the other hand, we usually have some disappointments. We have some discouragements. We have various trials that come. We have trouble. And very likely, some of us will be in the lion's den as a part of God's doing. Daniel was in the lion's den by God's doing. Now, it seems like it was at the hands of men, but it was God's doing. And because of what God did for Daniel, we can count on God's sovereign ruling authority over kings and kingdoms, for the world, for our country, and for us personally. Well, let's just get into the text and look at what happened here. And I thought the best approach to this would just be to trace the history of Daniel and see what's happening to him. Now, this is the setting. Daniel was carried from his home to Babylon to become a slave of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a young man, maybe he's 21. As we pick it up in chapter 6, Daniel is probably in his 80s. And so he's had the experience of being blessed here by God as a ruler in this place. But the governors and other rulers are very jealous of Daniel. And they want to do something to trap him. And so they trumped up a trap to get him in trouble. And we pick it up in verse 10. So what they had done is had the king issue a decree that anyone found worshiping or praying to any other god or man would be cast into the den of lions, and we'll get to that. But here we find Daniel in his home. That's where we begin, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And as his children sung, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily prayed he 3 times, till one day they had him cast, even in the den of lions. Even then, in the den, fear could not alarm him. God just shut the lion's mouth, so they could not harm him. This is the first case of lockjaw, where the lion's mouth was shut. So here's an interesting thing. Daniel in his home, in prayer, in worship, in thanks, and we can safely say his life was a life of prayer. Now in the New Testament it says we are called upon to obey the government. Here is a case where Daniel is defying the king's decree because it's a spiritual matter. And we need to be careful today that we are willing to take our stand when it comes to matters like this. This is not political. This is a spiritual matter. And we need to be careful that we do not succumb to secular decrees. Now there's something else about Daniel here, his boldness. He went into his home with his windows opened. He prayed. And look at verse 11. Then the men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. It is as if Daniel wanted to be caught, wanted to be put on trial, wanted to take his stand. Here is boldness. This is awesome. Daniel, the man of prayer, is in his home. The second thing we find about Daniel is that he is in trouble. Verses 11 through 15. These men assembled, and they heard him and saw him. And verse 12, they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not change. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these things, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to him, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command. They brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Daniel's in trouble. These spies, in jealous rage and accusation, put Daniel in this trouble. The next thing we find that Daniel is in the den of lions. It's interesting about this King Darius. He's trying to help Daniel. And he even bears great testimony here that you're God. I can't change this law or decree. I wish I could, but I cannot. But your God will deliver you. That's an awesome comment. Your God is able to deliver you. Nevertheless, Daniel goes into the den of lions. He's in there. What do you think Daniel could have been thinking? It's possible, as thoughts would come to us, to say, Lord, I've been a faithful Christian. I've been in prayer. I've carried a good testimony before these people. I have not turned from faith in you. And now, this is what I get. This is my reward for serving you. Persecution. Death. It's possible. Probably Daniel wouldn't, but probably I would have. Or maybe you would have. But he's there, and it's God's doing. It is God who oversaw this matter. God could have spared Daniel from going in the den. He could have saved him from it. Instead, he plans to save him out of it. So Daniel is in the den. And then we find Daniel in the hand of God. And verse 18. Now the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. King arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den. Came to the den, cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Daniel's in his home, and Daniel's in trouble, and Daniel's in the den of lions, and Daniel's in the hand of God. The lions are real. God does a miracle in protection. The miracle of protection. And probably when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and see the hundreds and thousands of times that God has protected us from enemies and problems we didn't even know about. Daniel is in the den with ferocious lions, but the hand of God is greater. And I'm impressed about the words able. The king says, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able? What is that? Sovereignty. Ability, power. Is the sovereign power of God greater than anything that could happen to us in 2001? That's the perspective in this passage. Then Daniel said, my God is able. In a sense, he sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. And so, the next history of Daniel is that he's out of the den. He's in his home, he's in trouble, he's in the den, he's in the hand of God, and now he's out of the den. verse 23. Here's this king again, King Darius. He just seems like a real believer in the Lord. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury was found on him because he believed in his God. Now let's look at an interesting thing about Daniel's accusers in verse 24. And the king gave the command. And they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them, broke all their bones in pieces, before they ever came to the bottom of the den. The liberals would cry out, "Oh, what a harsh and cruel God. I can't worship a God like that." Well, we see many instances of this in the Old Testament. When Achan sinned and held out a lute that he took in the war, Joshua was commanded to have him stoned to death. But it was also his wife and his children. What is God doing? He is purging evil from among the people. God does not want sin in the camp of Israel. So he cleanses it. And he gets rid of the evil. In heaven, there will be nothing that even has the appearance of evil or contamination. Here is a purging, and here are these accusers, and God's power is revealed in protecting Daniel, but it is also revealed in his power over the secular world to do as he pleases with them. Now, let's look at some principles we can learn from this passage. One is the importance for standing for what is right, regardless of what the immediate consequence is. You do right. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and we were talking about his children raising family, and he was teaching them to tell the truth. And he said, if you lie, there's going to be consequence of that. So if you tell the truth, you'll be much better off now and later. And then he said an interesting thing. We're going to ask you some questions where we already know the answer. So you better not lie to us. Oh, that was interesting. We parents do that, don't we? But he put it in words. So he was teaching them the importance of standing for what is right. Now Daniel did this early. He purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not worship Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel now worships his God. He did what is right. Secondly, it's the importance of not denying or compromising. Daniel could have closed the windows and shut the blinds, and they wouldn't have seen him. He could have prayed silently. He was bold in witness. Thirdly, there's the faithfulness and power of God for his people. And God's power over the wicked. The doom of the accusers. Be careful how you treat Christians. They're the apple of God's eye. So, what do we look for in the new year? Usual things that we know are going to happen. Maybe in the den with the lions. We can count on this, God's faithfulness. He will not forsake us. His power and his grace will be with us. So we thank God for this great event, Daniel in the den, where we see the sovereignty of God in action. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Several hundreds of years later, we thank you this morning for what you did for Daniel. And how you put him in the den and took him out of it. And Lord, sometimes this world experience seems like a den of lions. And we need you this morning. We need a power that's beyond us. We need a savior. We need a rescuer. We need a deliverer to save us, to help us. And this morning, with faith in you, we count on you. We turn to no other. We worship no other God than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of the living God is our God, and our God is able. Lord, give us that testimony today and through this coming year and through our life. And may you be pleased to bless this chapter in Scripture to our hearts today to encourage and help us. In Jesus' name, by his power, we pray. Amen.